prepare yourselves for Ethan and Aaron's Confessions of a Movie Snob, the ongoing discussion of film genres.
Welcome to podcast. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Ethan.
And that's Ethan. Well, welcome back. We haven't done this in 2-3 weeks, something like that. I don't really remember. Yeah, I think the last time we did the show was the Tony Scott show. That was a lot of fun to do. But tonight
that was supposed to be the Hitchcock show, but then Tony Scott died, and so we did Tony Scott instead. And then my work schedule got crazy.
Mm-hmm. And then tonight was going to be the Hitchcock show, and a stupid communications breakdown made it to where we couldn't do the Hitchcock show. So tonight we're going to do one that's kind of been on our burner for a while. I'm not really sure why we haven't done it, but what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about our favorite movie quotes, favorite movie lines of all time, and should be good. There's some damn good movie quotes out there. But before we get into any of that, we have a little bit of geekly happenings we want to talk about. We're trying to move away from that to a certain degree. We're not just going to say stuff for the sake of saying stuff. We're going to say stuff that we find particularly important. So what was the first thing we wanted to bring up?
Well, that Marvel Studios has made Joss Whedon the head of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which I think is a smart and obvious choice.
Yeah, it is.
And it's one of those things that, you know, the Avengers has made a boatload of money, and so they're like, well, Joss, whatever you want, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what's happening.
Yeah, I guess with whatever this next group of Marvel movies is, they're starting phase two of the Marvel movies, and I guess that's going to be the this is where they're going to start doing more wacky stuff, you know, like magic and stuff like that, and blah, 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 blah. See how it goes. I mean, obviously we all like Joss Whedon here. I mean, Joss fucking Whedon. I mean, it's a good move. It's a smart move.
Yeah.
Should be good. And I've read a little bit about it, and he's the way he's talking, but of course somebody in his position would be talking like this, but he's just saying, you know, look, dude, you know, we got really talented people, you know, directing and writing this stuff, and I don't want to be the guy that, you know, that makes them think that, you know, they're not doing their job right and blah, blah, blah. He was being really diplomatic about it, which is good. It's kind of sad, but
said,
it's good.
He said something like he's not going to be the guy that comes in and says, this is okay, but I'm going to change all this stuff. So,
yeah,
I think he's going to probably tweak a few things here and there, and probably sort of like what he did for Captain America movie. You know, I mean, he worked on the script for that a little bit.
Yeah,
and then he came in and pretty much just took the Avengers stuff, and like what he said in his interview, I believe, was he's the guy that's just basically just going to pull it all together,
right?
And stuff. So, and you know what, he's doing a fantastic job, and you know, Marvel continues to make good decisions, honestly. So.
Yeah, so far it's looking good.
It's
looking good. Definitely. I mean, I like Joss Whedon, I like the Avengers, and you know, I've always liked Joss Whedon. So I mean, it works real well. So that's good. The only other thing I think we were going to talk about was the death of actor Michael Clarke Duncan. Died.
Yes.
Was it last Sunday? I don't know.
That sounds right. Yeah.
He died about.
And it was from a. It was from a cardiac arrest. He had a heart attack several months ago. It was back in April, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had a heart attack in April, and he'd been in the hospital since April. He'd been in a, I guess it fucked him up pretty bad, and you know he
never quite recovered.
Never quite recovered. Died. I think he was 54. This is one of those really sad ones, because I don't know very many people that had anything particularly bad to say about him. I mean, there's always the internet trolls out there. You know, fuck him, blah blah blah. But you know, yeah, he was just a guy that seemed to be liked by all. I mean, Tom Hanks gave a very touching speech at his funeral, and everybody was sad to see him go, and so are we. I almost said we ought to do a Michael Clarke Duncan show. Then I just said, nah, I just didn't really want to. I mean, he's been around since. Well, he's been. I remember first seeing him in Armageddon, I think. And then,
that was the first time I really noticed him.
Yeah, I was like, damn, that's a big guy. But yeah, a lot of people like talk about him from The Green Mile or Daredevil or Sin City or something like that. But you know, he did some good movies, and it was fun having him around while we did. Too bad it wasn't longer.
Yeah, I think the I think the big thing that he really got noticed for was Green Mile.
Oh, yeah, he got his Oscar nomination.
Most people are going to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed.
It's sad to see him go. I mean, that's another one. But I guess we include Phyllis Diller in there. That's three. That's the three, the magic three that we. So hopefully no more will pass on anytime soon. So yeah. We'll see.
Maybe we can make it through the rest of the year. That'd be really nice. That'd be nice. It's probably not going to happen, but, you know, we'll see what happens. But I guess that brings us to an end of Geekly Happenings, and let's just jump right on into it. I decided, and you said, sure, whatever, that we wanted to do our favorite movie quotes, movie lines of all time. And this is, you know, it's seemingly easy, but when you sit down and actually look at it, it wasn't that damn easy for me, you know, because... You know, they've been talking in movies since, 1928, something like that. And a lot of movies have come out with a lot of good lines in it.
It's one of those things where we generally have some sort of a limited or finite amount of movies to look at. And when you're looking at when we come up and say, hey, let's do our favorite movie lines, it sounds relatively easy enough. But honestly, just discounting sound film, I mean, you're talking all movies.
Yeah.
You know, you could have a favorite line from a silent movie. And it's just, that's every movie ever made. I mean, honestly, there's really no way either of us are going to have a definitive list at this point. And, you know, I think we both probably attacked this in a different way. I know the way I attacked it was I sort of started going through my collection and going, what quotes do I generally remember remember fondly or use, you know, on a regular basis from these movies? And that's sort of where I came from.
That was a big one for me. A big one for me was, you know, first thing I did is I sat down, I looked at my movies, and I don't know, maybe I was feeling a little bit more ambitious than usual today. So I said, I'm not going to put Star Wars in there. I'm not going to put Indiana Jones in there. No Pulp Fiction, nothing like that. And then to further it up, I decided I wasn't going to do any of the AFI top 100s. So I just wanted to get ones that, you know, that I particularly like. You know, none of them are that particularly one. Well, I mean, I love them all. They're all funny-ass. And that's another thing, is I don't think I have any that are particularly touching. They're either really funny or really biting or really cool. But, you know, I was just looking for that, and it was very important to me that I did get those ones that are in my daily lexicon of shit I say these days. And, you know, I can't speak towards your list, but and if you've never listened to our show before, my side of the list is going to be very, very, very not safe for work, because I have some that have some potty words in them. They definitely have some.
I think mine are going to be fairly safe for work, but the one I sort of attacked it was sort of with that idea of ones that I use and I've been known to use in everyday conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sort of went the route of I looked at my movies and went, you know, I want to use there's a line here, and it's that moment in the movie when you're watching it with someone new, and you're like, oh, this is a great line. Just listen to that. This is a great line. And so I was like, I'm going to do that one. And so I came up with a bit of a mix.
There's a couple of movies on my list that I'll say I got a line from this movie, and you'll be thinking, okay, it's going to be this line. It's going to be a different line altogether, because sometimes I just have – I'm not going to say I have different taste or anything like that, but sometimes, like, the lines that jump out at me are, you know, they're a little bit more involved. And, you know, like I was actually looking at the AFI Top 100 to make sure I wasn't mixing any. But, you know, like, a lot of those quotes don't really work on your own. Like, I remember they had the line from The Graduate, you know, plastics. You know, oh, ha, 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 he said that doesn't make any sense unless you see the movie and you understand, like, the way that the movie set up and the tone and the feeling and all that stuff of it, but just reading it by itself, I tried to get most of mine to be. So yeah, I was just trying to look for lines that I thought stood on their own, quite frankly, and so that's what I came up with is a list of.
Yeah.
And a lot of these are going to be ones that I don't know. You know, I don't know, but some of mine
are going to be ones you'll obviously recognize here and there, mm-hmm. but there are going to be some here that, you know, it's just. I for some reason it's one that stuck with me from these movies. So.
Uh-huh. Another thing I did, and this is the boring, you know, behind the curtain thing, but like I put some of my longer quotes towards the back of my list so that, you know, pretty much my talking about it is going to just be naming it off. But when we actually, I put some shorter ones from the actual body of my list, you know, so we could just kind of throw it out there and then talk about it if we need to. So, with that being said, are you ready to get started?
Yes, I am.
You are. Okay, what's your number six?
All right, well, my number six is one that I use on a regular basis, and you knew it was going to show up on my list somewhere. It's If I'm Not Back by Dawn, Call the President, Kurt Russell from Big Trouble in Little China. And we've talked Big Trouble in Little China before. It's a great movie. It's a really cheesetastic movie. And this movie is definitely one of those that has this great tongue-in-cheek nature to the movie.
Okay, so your number six was If I'm Not Back by Dawn, Call the President from... Is that Escape from New York or Escape from L.A.?
That's from... Kurt Russell and Big
Trouble. Oh, Big Trouble, Little China. Right. Pork Chop Express and all that good shit. Sorry, my bad. I was just remembering Kurt Russell. That's a good one. My number six is one...
Kurt fucking Russell,
you're right. My number six is one that I've recently re-listened to some old episodes, and I realize this is a movie that I like, but on the show, for some reason, it comes across as I don't. There's things about it I don't like, but I do like the movie a lot, so I decided I'd throw a little bit of love here. Besides that, I love this line. The line is, "I haven't been fucked like that since grade school," from Fight Club, when Marla Singer says it. Now, I particularly like this line because it's the result of a smart-ass thing that ended up happening. David Fincher had a one revision clause contract in his contract, meaning that if they didn't like something, they could force him to revise it once. So when that line first went through the censors, the line was, "I want to have your abortion," and they said, no, you got to get rid of that. So they replaced it with, "I haven't been fucked like that since grade school," which, and it's a funny ass line, don't get me wrong, but it's a really nice smart ass response to, you know, don't fuck with my shit, pretty much. So
yeah.
I've always liked that line because it's funny because it just comes out of nowhere, and the look on his face when she says it and just stuff like that. Overall, I do like Fight Club a lot, and it's got some good one-liners in it. So picked it from number six.
That's awesome. I love David Fincher, and I definitely hate the ratings board. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. So they just pretty much replaced abortion with you know child rape. Yay. But yeah, yeah, so that that's my number six.
I'm evicting a cat.
You're evicting a cat. I'm not paying his rent.
Yes.
Very good.
Not paying his rent anymore. Okay. Let's see. All right, we're down to my number five. Now, my number five is actually a collection. Is sort of a short conversation from a movie.
Okay.
It is Clint Eastwood from Sudden Impact in 1983.
Uh-huh.
"Every day for the past 10 years, Loretta there has been giving me a large black coffee. Today she gives me a large black coffee, only it has sugar in it. A lot of sugar. I just came back to complain. Now you boys put those guns down." "Say what?" "Well, we're not just going to let you walk out of here." "Who's we, sucka?" "Slowly drawing a nice 44 Magnum, Smith & Wesson, and me." I love that little bit in that movie.
Yeah.
You know, Dirty Harry movies are just great movies in general, and you automatically sort of go to the "Go ahead, make my day," and the
"Do you feel lucky?"
bit with him, and the "Do you feel lucky?" punk stuff. And this is one of those movies with the with this line in it. It just sort of sneaks in there with this scene. It's just this great, great scene where it's like out of nowhere. He's just, "Oh, well, we need to have a scene where Clint Eastwood was going to be a badass, and Dirty Harry is awesome." So we're gonna have him come in here and foil a robbery of this coffee shop.
Yeah.
And so he does this, and I just love the way that he delivers it, and I love the way that it just sort of sums up Dirty Harry. It's just that Dirty Harry doesn't have a partner. Whenever he does, the partner dies.
Yeah.
But his partner is always his gun.
Yeah.
And so it's that notion of, like, "Well, we're not gonna let you out of here. Who's we?" "Well, Smith and Wesson and me." And that just sort of embodies that badassness that is Clint fucking Eastwood and Dirty Harry.
Yes.
And this was the, I want to say it was the fourth movie.
No, that was Deep Impact. Sudden Impact?
Sudden Impact.
That was the fourth, I want to say, yeah.
Yeah.
And the third one was...
Yeah, because they... 80... Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's a movie, and obviously our love of Clint fucking Eastwood, notwithstanding, this is the line I always think just doesn't get enough play, and it's that the Smith and Wesson and me line. I love it.
Mm-hmm. It's a good line. It's a good line. I'm glad you got some Clint fucking Eastwood in there. That's badass.
Oh yeah.
All right. Looks like my number five is one. It's from a movie that I like quite a bit, but I'm almost positive. I'm not 100%, but I'm almost positive I've never mentioned on the show before. The line is, "Should I bolt every time I get that feeling in my gut where I meet someone new?" I've been listening to my gut since I was 14 years old, and frankly speaking, I've come to the conclusion that my guts have shit for brains from High Fidelity. That's a line that I saw that movie when it very first came out, and that pretty much was the way that I felt about myself. I mean, you know, when you don't listen to your... And it was delivered by John Cusack, and John Cusack is very good at delivering that, you know, that "aw shucks, fuck me" kind of line, and that's exactly what was going on with this and that movie. So that's why I picked it from number five. It's just one that I've always liked a lot.
I think the last time I saw that movie was, probably 10 years ago at least.
Yeah, I think I've seen it two or three times in my life, but that's one of those lines that, you know, it was like when I said I should do this, is one of the first ones that popped into my mind. So I loved it, so I picked it from number five.
Excellent.
All right.
Excellent. Well, onto my number four. You know, I'm sitting here thinking of iconic lines and just things that sort of pop into my head. Mm-hmm. And this one was sort of an immediate one when I was sort of looking over my movie collection and going, you know, I know it's kind of a gimme, it's an obvious choice, but it's Bond, James Bond, Sean Connery from Dr. No. I mean, talk about setting the stage for an iconic character and setting the stage for an iconic line. It's the first lines that he utters as James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everybody remembers from then on. And in, six, seven different incarnations of James Bond at this point, that you have, you know, these different actors playing it over the course of 40 or 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have always got this great thing when someone says, "Oh, I'm going to be watching a James Bond movie," or "Hey, I'm going to be in a James Bond movie." They immediately go to, "Oh, Bond. James Bond."
Right.
And that's always, that's just sort of sunk its way into the lexicon and you know, permeated into social consciousness, and people will always remember that. And it's just, you know, three little words that just really...
It's actually two words.
And, you know, yeah, it's two words. One repeated. One of them is repeated twice.
Uh-huh.
That just completely shaped a genre of movie right there, and it just continues to this day. It's one of those just great lines.
Yeah, that's one that I considered, but what I decided was it was too obvious, and I just didn't want to go for it. And I almost went with the line from Casino Royale, where it's like, "Give me a vodka martini. Do you want it shaken or stirred? Do I look like I give a damn?" And you know, I almost put that in there, but I ended up not. Did you see that he signed on for two more?
Yeah. I did.
That's nice.
That is fantastic.
That's good stuff.
Two more Daniel Craig Bond movies, at least I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, at this point, at least we're going to get more, unless he dies or something dumb like that, at least we're going to get more out of him than we did Timothy Dalton. So, him too. But okay, cool. Good line. Like I said, I considered it, but A, I figured you might be doing it. B, I decided that, you know, there's other ones that I like more than that. So, are we on to my number four?
I believe so.
My number four is one that's not that... It's not that particularly great of a line by itself. You know, it's just in context of the movie that I liked it as much as I did. It's from the first Kill Bill. It's "One More Thing, Sophie. Is she aware that her daughter is still alive?" Last line of the movie, said by Bill, you know, roll credits at that point. And I know that you're not as big of a fan of that movie as I am, or most people are. One of the things about this line that I liked as much as I did is I didn't see it coming. And I have no idea how I didn't see it coming, because I don't know. I mean, because maybe I was just being, you know, visually and audibly and, you know, pop culturally raped the whole way through. I didn't really have any time to really, you know, consider movie structure and stuff like that. And so it really shocked me. And it was just a perfect way to end a movie like that. And also, you had that nice gravelly Carradine voice, and then just boom, cut to credits, and it was awesome, especially with that music playing behind it, the Good Shepherd music playing behind it. It was just all around a great line. Mm-hmm. So I picked it for number four.
It's a good one, and you know, my heart's warmed to those movies quite a bit in recent years, and that was a great way to end the movie. And no one, I don't think anyone here or anyone anywhere should ever really complain about the cinematic chops of Quentin Tarantino and how he pretty much knows what he's doing.
No,
and,
he definitely knows. I mean, there's some.
I think a lot of the.
There's some assholes on internet message boards that like to call him a hack that doesn't do anything original, and I'm like, yeah, fuck you. So, I mean,
they're idiots on the internet like us. So, mm-hmm. Except we don't have our heads firmly in our ass; we just have them, you know, loosely in our ass.
Yeah, not our heads up our ass or feet in reality.
Three,
go ahead.
Yes. Now, my number three is just a line that sort of came to me when I was coming up at this list, and you know, I could go the route of saying, oh, I want to go to these classic lines and do this. No, this is a line saying some motherfuckers always try to ice skate uphill.
from Blade.
Wesley Snipes from Blade. That line is so goddamn random. Yeah, I mean,
it just came out of nowhere. Just like what? It's just like whatever.
It's like an adequate movie. It's in the vampire killing action, you know, sci-fi movie, and then suddenly there's this line, some motherfuckers are trying to ice skate uphill, and you're like, what? And that
and it was at the end, it was like
a stick in your head, and you get what he means by it, and there are many situations in life where you're going around and going, yeah, some motherfucker is trying to ice skate uphill, and you just want to go, okay, Wesley, was that an ad lib? Because okay, we're just going to leave that in the movie. I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah, that's...
Some motherfuckers are trying to ice skate uphill. Like,
I guarantee you this. I guarantee you this. If you had asked me to see one line out of Blade, I would say some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill. If you said to say two, I couldn't say two. So it's definitely the most memorable line of the movie. So,
exactly, yes.
Mm. That's a good one. Good choice. Good choice. All right,
but that's my number three.
All right. My number three is one we are firmly getting into the ones that I say a lot. These are, you know, like these other ones are ones that I've liked, but they're not part of shit I say all the time. But I think the last three are ones that I do say all the fucking time. And my number three is a line out of Airplane, and it looks like I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue. That line just cracks me up every single time I hear it. And I don't know, it just comes up because, you know, like, I'll be helping Rachel, carry something, and I'll drop it, or I won't do it right or something, and she'll look at me like I'm a fucking idiot, and I'll just be like, looks like I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue and just, you know, do my thing, but... It was really funny in the movie because it had a nice it had progression to it, because it started with, well, it looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking, I picked the wrong week to quit, you know, drinking, then I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue, then I quit I picked the wrong week to quit methamphetamines and just shit like that. But yeah. Sniffing glue is my favorite out of all those, so I say it all the time, so I picked it from a number three. Yeah,
that's a damn great movie too.
I love that movie,
and that's not the line people generally
no.
think of when if you say Airplane. You
know? No,
and it's not the one that ended up on the AFI Top 100 either.
No. Oh, that one. Oh, it's like Don't Call Me Shirley, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Either that or, you know,
which is an iconic.
Or Stewardess, excuse me, I speak jive, and you know, there's all these, but you know, out of all of them, I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue, so I picked it from a number three.
Yep. Well, we definitely have eccentric tastes. Going into my number two, let's see. Okay, this is a favorite movie of yours and mine. Now, when I say this movie, this line will immediately pop to mind, for me at least. It's The Three Musketeers.
Which one?
He's torn our...
he's torn our carpet. That's a great line.
I know this is random, and it was... It's
it always makes you...
what Richard Lester was all about.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's the line that you and I always laugh at every single time we see that movie.
It is. It's every damn time, and it's one of those lines.
Cardinals
like,
guards.
Listen, he's told no cop. Isn't that hilarious? And of course, Beth looks at me like I'm a head's on fire. I'm like, that's funny.
It was.
And, it's said by some random little midget.
Yeah.
Or it's said by some random guy.
It's an extra.
One of the guards. He's one of the random guards. And who, you know, doesn't get any screen credit. But, I mean, I think of the Three Musketeers and the Four Musketeers. They're great movies. And this line always gets me. It's that he's Tonar Coppin, and it's one of those perfectly timed lines. It's perfect in the situation of the movie, where there's this big swashbuckling action sequence going, and D'Artagnan goes to pull the rug out from under the guards, and he just
rips the carpet,
tears off this whole section of it, and there's that just momentary silence, and then one of the guards under their breath goes, "He's Tonar Coppin."
He's Tonar Coppin. Yeah,
and just the goes on from there. And
the incredulousness of the
brilliant.
That's a good line. Didn't occur to me. I wish it had. God damn it, because I love that line. You know, I mean, those movies are just so quotable. Lots of good shit in there, but I guarantee you, if it had occurred to me, it'd be on my list. But it didn't, so yes. I'm glad, because that was fun to hear when I completely had forgotten about it. Very good.
Yep, so that's my number two.
Okay, my number two is one that you had to know it was coming. I don't think anybody else had to know it was coming, but I had to get some Kevin Smith in there, but I'm not going to go the obvious route. I'm going to go with Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. What the fuck is the internet? I loved that line. It had me rolling in the theater. It was.
Yes, you wanted to have, every time you opened up Internet Explorer, you wanted that to play.
It does. It did. I don't have it anymore, but it used to do that on my computer. What the fuck is the internet? It was just this scene with Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes and Ben Affleck, and he's like, you know, they're talking about the Jay and Silent Bob, or the Blunt Man and Chronic movie that they're going to make, and they said, and Ben Affleck says, yeah, they're making a Jay and Silent Bob movie. You guys are going to get a lot of money from that. They're like, what? It's like, yeah, they're Miramax is, you know, making it. But, you know, I guess it's going to be a piece of shit according to the message boards on the internet. And Jay's all like, what the fuck is the internet? I mean, it's awesome because the movie's made in, what, 2006, something like that. You know, like way past the advent of the internet. Everybody should know who the internet is. But you got dumbass, you know, Jay not knowing anything.
Dumbass Jay doesn't know shit,
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm number two. What the fuck is the internet? And it's just one of those. I love it, and I always say it. It's a good one. So, all right.
Yes, it is. The internet. What is the internet? Okay. All right. Getting into my number one, it is one that I use pretty much on a daily basis, and it's one of those lines that nobody ever gets. It is, of course, Clever Girl, from as said by Bob Peck in Jurassic Park, right before he gets eaten by a raptor.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why this one stuck in my head, but always, you know, something happens, something goes down during a day, and I just go, oh, clever girl. And then, you know, the raptor eats me or something. And that's sort of why when you said think of movie lines, this is the first one that popped up for me. And that was just sort of like really just one of the ones that was memorable for me. And it's one of those things that I've only ever run into one other person. That's my buddy Nathan, who actually knew what I was referring to when I said without any prompting
clever
or anything
girl.
Like that. Because I said clever girl, and then he made the raptor noise.
No, oh, well.
And it's just one of those things, and it still blows my mind that movie's going to be 20 years old next year.
That's nuts.
And you know, Bob Peck actually died. A couple years after that movie, but it is entirely just, I don't know what it is that line. I mean, the there are other lines in that movie. There's one more that comes to mind that I could have used, but the one that I pretty much use most of the time in everyday conversation is Clever Girl, and it just, that stuck with me, so that's my number one.
Yeah, I figured that was going to be on your list. I didn't think it was going to be that high, because I hear you do it all the time as well. My number one's one that I would imagine if I gave you half a second, you would know what the fuck it is. But I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to throw it out there, because I do. This is one I do probably use every day, if not every other day. And it's more than a line to me. It's a state of mind. And, of course, I'm going with Get Off My Lawn from, you know, from Gran Torino. Clint motherfucking Eastwood, get off. You know, it's, yeah, absolutely. I say it all the time. And it's one of those things that I say when there's a I'll say it to Rachel, or I'll even say it to Chloe, like when there's some sort of generational gap between us. You know, like when I, we named the cat Skeletor, and, you know, like whatever. And she thought I was naming it after the dog in 50-50, not the He-Man villain. And she's like, it's a He-Man villain? I'm like, get off my lawn, and, you know, I'll do it to Chloe. And I've actually said it, you know, I've actually, one of the proudest moments of my life was actually getting to, honest to goodness, say, get off my lawn to some goddamn kids who were on my lawn riding bikes and stuff. I mean, it was a great moment, and it's a great fucking line.
I remember when you got to say that series in very serious to the kids, and you were very, very proud of yourself. You were very proud that you were able to use that in everyday, in its actual intended use.
Yeah, not just I'm older than you use. It was like, get off my lawn. And, you know, it was funny because I had a cold and I even, you know, sounded all gravelly like Clint Eastwood. It, you know, I could have died at that moment and everything would have been all right. But my number one.
Okay, this works.
Yeah. My number one favorite movie line of all time is "Get off my lawn." It's certainly the most used of mine for definite. All right,
it's one that I use on a regular basis too. But,
yeah,
I was hoping it would show up on your list.
Yeah, yeah. So okay, let's do our rundown.
All right. Well, you know, I sort of designated the back end of my list for some lines that, you know, you really expect to hear at some point. And that's, Louis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship is my number 10 from Humphrey Bogart and Casablanca. My number 9 is Good, Bad, I'm the Guy with the Gun, Bruce Campbell and the Army of Darkness. My number 8 is We're Gonna Need a Bigger Boat, Rushider and Jaws. That's classic.
Great.
My number 7 is Let's Go, William Holden in the Wild Bunch.
Let's go.
And I think that merits a little explanation from me. And that was sort of that when he says those two words in that movie, it just makes that movie come together at that point for me. And he doesn't need to say anything else. It's just in the context of that scene, in the context of that movie, you get it.
Yeah.
And so it's my number 7. Then we get to my number 6. Of If I'm Not Back by Dawn, Call the President, Kurt Russell. My number 5 is Smith, Wilson, and Me, Harry Callahan, from Sudden Impact in 1983. My number 4 is Bond, James Bond, Sean Connery, and Dr. No. Number 3 is Some Motherfuckers Always Trying to Ice Skate Uphill. My number 2 is He's Torn Our Carpet, from Three Musketeers. And number 1 is Clever Girl from Jurassic Park.
Excellent, excellent. Actually, this might suck. We'll just see how it works out. I took my 10 through 7, and I put some of my longer quotes on it. They're not that goddamn long, but they're longer than single lines. My number 10 is from Inglourious Basterds. Well, I don't speak the most Italian, so I'll be your escort. Donowitz here speaks the second most, so he'll be your Italian cameraman. Omar speaks the third most, so he'll be Donnie's assistant. I don't speak Italian. Like I said, third best. Just keep your fucking mouth shut. In fact, why don't you start practicing right now? That's my number 10. And then my number 9.
I love that movie.
I love that. I almost wanted to do that whole the whole exchange between Rain and Londa, where he in the theater, where he goes through his long, you know, thing in French. Oh, how are you doing? And blah 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 blah. And then there's gracias or whatever. Buongiorno when he comes back with that. But I kind of liked the. So why don't you just shut your fucking mouth? I like that one a lot. So I went with that. But number 9 is another longer one. I'm gonna cut it down a little bit because it's not gonna really work too well just myself. It's from the movie Closer. I don't know if you ever saw that, but basically the scene that it comes from is a scene when Julia Roberts admits to cheating on Clive Owen, and it basically boils down to him saying, "Do you enjoy sucking him off?" Her saying, "Yes." Larry says, "You like his cock?" Her saying, "I love it." And then he says, "You like him coming in your face?" And she says, "Yes." And then he says, "What does it taste like?" And she says, "It tastes like you, but sweeter." And then this is where the whole thing comes together. He says, "That's the spirit. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Now fuck off and die, you fucked up slag." I just love that punctuation in there. Just fuck off and die, you fucked up slag. I probably do say fuck off and die every day. That's a great one. That's a great one. Number 8. Now I'm actually going to get into a little bit shorter ones. Number 8. is from The Big Lebowski. Shut the fuck up, Donnie. That one cracks me up. It especially cracks me up because we were always doing
shut
it to Tyler.
Up,
yeah, shut the fuck up, Donnie. Shut the fuck up. Wait, when do we play? Yeah, the whole thing. It just cracks me up every time I see it. Number seven is a... it's one that I'm actually surprised did not show up on your list. It is from Tombstone. I'm your Huckleberry. Obviously, Doc Holliday. Great fucking line. Then we get into the list that I talked about before. My number six, I haven't been fucked like that since grade school. My number five being, I've come to the conclusion that my guts have shit for brains. My number four, one more thing, Sophie, is she aware that her daughter is still alive? My number three being, looks like I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue. My number two being, what the fuck is the internet? Now, I can't even get through this without laughing. And then number one, favorite movie line of all time, Gran Torino, get off my lawn. This was actually a lot of fun to do. There's a lot of, you know, I mean, I tried to keep away from the, you know, James Bond, beginning of a beautiful friendship. It's a twister. And these are ones that, you know, I really liked. And there's a lot of fun. I was very happy you brought up that he's torn our carpet, because that's one that's kind of got its own little legs and, you know, at least our little group is a good one.
Oh, yes.
Well,
oh, yes. It's definitely one that has that we keep alive.
We will keep it alive, if nothing else. But... I got
exactly.
Yeah, it's good. I got nothing else unless you do.
Neither do I. I'm actually all good.
I'm all good too. So hopefully next time we're going to be on, I'm not going to promise anything, but next time we're on, we might do our Hitchcock show. And we're going to do that with John if everything lines up. Otherwise, we'll be back sometime with something, talking about something. I don't know. What do you got?
We'll be talking about stuff with other stuff.
We'll be talking about stuff yeah. with something on some day. Yes, that's it. All right. Let your geek flag fly.
10.
Louis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Well, I speak most Italian, so I'll be your escort. Donovan speaks second most, so he'll be your Italian cameraman. Omar third most, so he'll be Donnie's assistant.
I don't speak Italian.
Like I said, third best. Just keep your fucking mouth shut. In fact, why don't you start practicing right now?
9.
Good. Bad. I'm the guy with the gun.
Why is the sex so important?
Because I'm a fucking caveman!
Did you touch yourself while he fucked you?
Yes.
You wank for him?
Sometimes.
And he does?
We do everything that people who have sex do.
You enjoy sucking him off?
Yes.
You like his cock?
I love it.
You like him coming in your face?
Yes.
What does it taste like?
It tastes like you, but sweeter.
That's the spirit. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Now fuck off and die. You fucked up slag.
8.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
7.
Let's go.
I'm your Huckleberry.
6.
If we're not back by dawn, call the president.
My God. I haven't been fucked like that since grade school.
5.
Every day for the last 10 years, Loretta there has been giving me a large black coffee. Today she gives me a large black coffee, only it's got sugar in it. A lot of sugar. I just came back to complain. You boys put those guns down.
Say what?
Well, we're not just gonna let you walk out of here.
Who is we, sucker?
Smith and Wesson and me.
I've been thinking with my gut since I was 14 years old. And frankly speaking, I've come to the conclusion that my guts have shit for brains.
4.
Bond. James Bond.
One more thing, Sophie. Is she aware her daughter is still alive?
3.
Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill. Like I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.
2.
Yeah! He's torn our carpet.
What the fuck is the internet?
1.
have a girl. Get off my lawn.
Something very special about me. I can't seem to hide it, even when I try. It must be a difference in the way I walk and talk, or that dilithium crystal twinkle in my eye. See, I've never had a problem playing Smash Bros. And discussing Han and Garita isn't work. So I'm hoping you can love me for the nerdy girl I am, and accept all of my unconventional quirks. Like a Dalek, you exterminated all of my defenses. If I was a Time Lord, both my hearts would beat for you. And while I love your personality and value your intelligence, what I really want right now is a sonic screw. Driver. I own 5 different capsules from Julie Newmar's to Miss Berry's, and my gold bikini fits me like a glove. And while I know full well that I'm no black canary, all I'm asking for is a little nerdy love. Don't need a man with the biceps of Batman, and he doesn't need to have the vocal cadence of Kirk, and he doesn't need to read me elvish sonnets like Aragon. But if he lets me ride his TARDIS, I'm gonna go berserk. Like a Dalek, you exterminated all of my defenses. If I was a Time Lord, both my hearts would beat for you. And while I love your personality and value your intelligence, what I really want right now is a sonic screw. Driver. I'd love to find a man just like the doctor. To be the piper to his tenant would be super. And while Bruce Wayne will forever be my dream boy, for now I'd even settle for a guy like Sheldon Cooper. Like a Dalek, you exterminated all of my defenses. If I was a Time Lord, both my hearts would beat for you. And while I love your personality and value your intelligence, what I really want right now is a sonic screw. Driver.